Hi, my name is Melissa Rogers. Fellow graduates, parents, faculty, and staff, welcome and thank you so much for being here today. To my peers especially, congratulations. We made it, kids. I remember squirming in the plastic fold-out chairs at convocation, looking around at all of the strange faces around me and being absolutely terrified about what the next 4 years would bring. I couldn't have anticipated the way these years have unfolded, but more importantly, I don't think that I could have imagined then that I would look out from the podium today and see an incredible array of friendly faces that I have come to know, respect, and love during my time here. When I was in elementary school, I had a teacher, that asked us to come back every day and after school and tell her one thing that we'd learned that day. She also offered us candy to do so. And I find it funny that my college still uses free food to convince me to do things, and also that it totally works. I don't want to stand here talking about all the epiphanies I've had over the last few years, especially since I'm only a 22-year-old, soon-to-be graduate myself, just as lost as many of you in many ways. But I do want to tell you one thing I learned, and I hope you'll see why. So, in fall of 2014, I took Andrea Hibbard's Representations of Childhood Literature class. And she explained to us that Charles Dickens published many of his most famous works not as neatly bound books, but in installments. In the case of A Tale of Two Cities, he published weekly chapters in a periodical that only cost readers 2 pence per week. Since you all did your required reading, you know that approaching the sprawling novel now as modern readers, we have a drastic difference in the way that we relate to it. We accept the story as full and complete, with plot developments and character arcs that follow to an inevitable conclusion, albeit with a few twists and turns along the way. Now, spoiler alert, but in 1859, Dickens was writing the story week to week, with only a fluid idea of where the narrative would take him. So he allowed the voices of his audience to help shape the story's path along the way, their responses to each installment influencing the novel's outcome and legacy as a whole. Reflecting on this opportunity to speak with you today, I couldn't help but think of our own lives here at Lewis and Clark in this narrative mindset. I tried to resist the English major in me from showing through, to think instead about ways to appeal to you as individuals and as communities, all of us tied together by our common quests for self-discovery and collaborative scholarship. But I kept returning to this idea of being simultaneously at the end of one narrative thread and at the beginning of another, and this idea of the unfinished narrative being the point of unification for disparate voices, allowing everyone a chance for creative control. To me, this is where the real power of Lewis and Clark lies. Here, we found the room to grow and breathe as individuals. We became the authors of our own lives. We had the freedom to study the nature of the universe or of human consciousness, to delve into romantic literature or eat ice cream for dinner if we so chose. But we also found an incredibly strong foundation of support, one that led a more meaningful shared story to bloom. Whether you arrived on your first day of NSO, lanyard around your neck and parents in tow, or you found yourself here having left behind your family, your state, your country, culture, school, Lewis and Clark allowed our narratives to intertwine. Each of us followed our own paths, greeting our little joys and tragedies as they came, and rearranging the cast of characters milling about the scene. But we also crossed paths with one another, affecting each other's storylines in both imperceptible and major ways. Whether we were slipping on the sky bridge or riding long, unrequited misconnections to our bone crushes or running into each other in the library stacks at 1 a.m., we constantly shaped each other's experiences here. We fostered deep connections, forging relationships with those people that helped us go on when life got too hard or we just needed a study break and a snack at Maggie's. And we all collectively found ourselves on a well-worn path with a chance to contribute our tokens and footsteps to a larger legacy. Have you ever stood in the gardens at sunset or on the sky bridge at dawn, watching the way the light and mist filter through the trees? Or maybe just wondering, how did those plastic pink flamingos get up there? Depending on your major, you've spent countless hours in the library, the theater, the studio, the gym. You've given whole nights and mornings to the editing room and the lab. You gave small parts of yourself to this place, and you're leaving behind those traces as part of a legacy that extends back through the last 150 years. I know that I, for one, have found a home here that I never expected to. This is the place that launched my exploration into who I am and who I want to be, It took me abroad to the top of cathedrals in France and brought me back to a place that felt like home. I've worked alongside compassionate, intelligent, and thoughtful professors and faculty who care about the work we do within these walls just as much as about the work we do beyond as conscientious global citizens. And now, at the end of this chapter, we see that there's so much more to come. And it's a little intimidating, the way that our narratives are so fluid and so open to being changed by the forces around and beyond us. But it also gives me hope to know that this narrative, the story of us as peers, as families, as a community and home unfolding and intertwining over the last 4 years, has been so marked with moments of grace and humility and growth. We will go on to tread our own paths, discovering, as Dickens said, that life is made of ever so many partings welded together. As we look beyond this small part of our overall narratives, I hope the idea of everything to come fills you not with uncertainty and fear as it did me on that day of convocation in August. Rather, I hope you've learned that you have the power to make a difference in the lives and stories of others, and that no matter where you go, you will always have a community of readers willing to help you reshape your story into the one you want to tell. Thank you very much.